Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Findley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Seattle. Padres here for the first three games, first half of a road trip, playing out the Vetter Cup. I've already given up on it, Ryan. I mean, it's going to be tough to take the Vetter Cup. So I'm going to go for the – I'm kind of have my eyes on the consolation prize, which could be, you know, the Padres winning the NL West and potentially the World Series. But, you know, if you'd like to talk about the Vetter Cup, we can. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with the Dodgers. They take 2 of 3 at Petco Park from the Dodgers. If not for a pretty bad final few innings on Sunday, it might have even been a sweep. Kevin, we didn't overreact last week when they got swept. I'm not going to overreact now because they took 2 of 3. But certainly these look like two pretty evenly matched teams as we look down the barrel of the postseason here.
Yeah. And you know what? That would be the thing to take away from it, right? Like, right, you can talk all you want about the theory and, oh, the Padres do this well and do this well. And, oh, they're set up this way and this way for the playoffs. And, oh, they've done this and this. What have you done head to head against the Dodgers? And it hasn't been pretty. I was thinking, and I wrote out some notes before the series about just how much the Dodgers have owned the Padres. And I've talked about it before that every time it gets close, the Dodgers squash them. And I didn't use any of those notes this series because the right. Padres played better and pitched better and their record was better. Because 2-1 is better than 0-3. So there you go. In the newsletter this morning, I put that notably they're tied for first place. More importantly, they're playing well.
Yep, they're playing good baseball. And there's that, you know, the starting pitching was something we talked about a lot when we last met here on Friday. Acquitted itself pretty nicely, I thought, over the weekend. Three pretty good performances, none bigger than the one by Nestor Cortez. Baseball's a crazy game, isn't it, Kevin?
It is in so many ways, man. That was my favorite. I mean, Nick Pivetta is a very much a pleasure to watch and has been. Yu Darvish as well can be just masterful. A crafty lefty hitting spots because he has to. Nestor Cortez kind of has to be that good. I realize that from Dodgers fans, Dodgers media, that like, ooh, they're struggling. They're, you know, oh, it's the Dodgers. Well, maybe the Dodgers aren't executing. Sure, okay. The Dodgers lead Major League Baseball in a lot of offensive categories and have won the exact same number of games as the Padres, which I think is fourth or fifth most in the major leagues. Nestor Cortez did a really good job shutting out for six innings, taking a no-hitter into the sixth, a perfect game into the sixth. He did a really good job.
Yep. And this is somebody who, you know, like we talked about on Friday, as we start to think a little bit about what a playoff rotation would look like, right? I think that there are two names you could write in ink right now, right? Yu Darvish and Nick Pivetta. If you had a left-hander who had been on a little bit of a heater to finish the regular season, I know that he probably wouldn't be everybody's choice as the third guy, but having a left-handed starting pitcher who's worth something can really help you in the postseason.
It can. I think that you're right, that there is virtually no chance. That would take some serious outside the box, especially so not in the wild card, right? Because that's going to be Michael King, right? If Michael King is back and pitching well. And then in the NLDS, you know, you only need three starters there too. They have now spaced it out where I believe you go game off, two games off game if you have to go all five. Mm-hmm. Or two games, then off. Yeah, it's you need three starters. That's it. Right. So a fourth one would be on the roster, but mm-hmm. and probably I would think in place of Yuki Matsui, but you don't need to use them. And then for anything beyond that, you would go with a fourth. And that is where I think it's interesting. Where does Nestor Cortez fit in?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's who would have thought, you know, again in March that we'd be talking about, well, would it be Nestor Cortez or Dylan Cease? Would it be Nestor Cortez or Michael King? And again, he would need to put together another three or four excellent starts.
Yes.
You know, that's
the reason we would be mentioning it is at this, and it still may be the case, but before that start, we're going, is he even on the playoff roster?
Right. Oh yeah, totally, totally. Can we talk about Yuki Matsui just for a minute, Kevin? It's not, he's not really on our agenda here. It has become clear to me, we saw it yesterday a little bit, that not only is Yuki Matsui struggling, but Yuki Matsui is pretty much the last guy out of that bullpen. Fair to say, and my understanding is that he cannot be sent down. Do we know anything about the contract details there?
Right. That's, he can't be sent down. You don't need a mop-up guy in the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
You don't need a mop-up guy. So, right. And because you can make anybody a mop-up guy. You make your, you know, Martin Perez was that guy last year. I assume that one of the two lefty starters would be that guy to be on the roster. That's all. Yuki has his moments and his usefulness in the regular season.
Yep. He has a role. It's just not a role that's really going to be needed in the playoffs. You wouldn't think.
Right.
Michael King, we have a health update there on him. He had a bullpen session yesterday, actually faced some hitters. Looked pretty good. He is on track to return.
Yeah. He had three innings plus an out in a sim game at Petco Park. My question will be, why rush him back? Why not do a rehab start? Why not get him up further? I think it was 44 pitches. Like, why? So I think that's still a question. But obviously Michael King wants to come back and pitch. Obviously Michael King, healthy Michael King, is really good. And so we'll find out here in the next day or two, but, you know, kind of, I don't want to say rushed, but hindsight being what it is, and knowing that maybe Michael King wasn't, you know, was trying to work through an issue with his knee, maybe a little more time there would have been a good idea before he came back the first time. So the good news is knee was drained, feeling good, arm is fine. Just a matter of when.
Right. And I think for the Padres, it's worth keeping this in mind with Michael King. You know, for the Padres to do what they want to do in the playoffs, Michael King probably has to be good. And there is no rush to bring him back, really. I mean, they expect to be playing baseball into the month of October. And I think that they would take maybe 2 weeks of downtime in late August, early September, in exchange for having a healthy and effective Michael King in October. They're not going to have to, it doesn't appear to me, Kevin, sprint just to make the playoffs this year. There may actually be a chance to thoughtfully think about rest and things like that down the stretch.
It is. And then that becomes its own strategy, right? Like, you know, for guys built to go the 37 starts or whatever you might need from him to get through October, then, you know, how much are you resting certain guys? But then there is obviously a benefit to that. And the reason that you say you're going to need Michael King to go where they want to go in the postseason is, it's all well and good and looks super impressive, right? Like, they've won 75, whatever it is. They're 17 games over 500. They've won 74 games basically without Michael King for more than half the season, without Yu Darvish for more than half the season, with a not very good most of the time Dylan Cease. They have a really good bullpen. Okay, fine. They can, how do any of us, including the Padres, know how it is that they would get through the postseason and have that first parade? But by far, the best scenario involves a healthy Michael King, because you're not going to count on J.P. Sears giving you six, you know, innings, one run against the Dodgers or the Phillies in the postseason. You're just not going to do it.
Right. Now is not the time to talk about this, Kevin, but let's file this point away for later. I want to know if Michael King's health issues this year make him more likely to return on a one-year deal next year. But I don't think that this is a conversation we need to have right now.
I think it's a great conversation. We can have it later. I can almost quash it and say he's a really good pitcher. Has Dylan Cease cost himself years and money on what he might have got this year? Yeah. It does not mean Dylan Cease is not going to get big money in the offseason. Michael King, if he shows that he's healthy at the end, will be just fine. And I don't think it makes it any more likely, though I do think it's a good topic for conversation for another time.
For another time. Absolutely. Kevin, another injury we want to touch on here. The Padres did what seemed to be the inevitable and put Jackson Merrill on the injured list. It's retroactive, so, you know, I guess waiting didn't really hurt them. How serious is this, Kevin? And, you know, sort of what's the concern beyond when he's available to return?
It cost them a day because you can make it retroactive for 3 days. Yeah, to a certain extent, it was inevitable, but the plan was never to put him on the injured list. They don't need that guy, right? Like, so Will Wagner gets called up yesterday, and because they're getting blown out, he pinch hits for Xander Bogaerts. There's not like a need for another infielder. There's not a need for a 26th man when you are playing. I wrote about it in the newsletter. Mike Shildt, before yesterday, had made 5 in-game moves in the previous 5 games. They were 4 of them were to make Bryce Johnson a defensive replacement, and one of them was to have Bryce Johnson pinch run. There's none of this. The lineup is basically what it is now. That's not to say he has made moves since the trade deadline, but it's just to go 3-4 deep on your bench like he was doing a lot. That's not happening anymore. And so you don't, it was always going to be, hey, let's just let Jackson heal. Well, then it was like every day, hey, Jackson, how you doing? All right, hey, Jackson, hey, when do you think? Let Jackson heal, get back. That ultimately, hey, let's see what Will Wagner does up here. Let's bring Will Wagner up. We think Will Wagner is going to be our, you know, 5th infielder next year. So let's bring Will Wagner up. It'll be fine for a few days. Will Wagner will probably be here in September as well for the call-ups. Jackson is supposed to be back on Saturday in Minnesota. And I just saw him because unbeknownst to me, they're at my hotel here in Seattle. I try not to stay with the team, but there they were. And Jackson looked as good as I have seen him when I saw him earlier this morning.
There we go. You know what? The lineup without him has been pretty effective, but I still think the best Padres team has Jackson Merrill playing center field.
Agreed. You know? Playing center fielder, yeah. Playing center field and in the lineup. I mean, it's just, it's funny how these things work out. What Gavin Sheets has been doing is phenomenal for Gavin Sheets and phenomenal for the Padres.
Yep. And the beauty of baseball is guys who you didn't think you'd need, sometimes you need them. And sometimes it turns into a really good story. You know, I think that we're seeing that right now with Gavin Sheets and a couple of other guys. Shoot, Bryce Johnson. I mean, who would have thought, you know, in the spring that Bryce Johnson would be back and playing every once in a while?
You need that guy. He's the Tyler Wade of this year to a certain extent.
Yep. Yep, 3-game series with the Mariners starts tonight in Seattle. Kevin, you're drinking coffee. What an on-brand Seattle act you are doing right now. We got J.P. Sears versus Bryce Miller tonight. Sears, 8-10 with a 4.94 ERA, was much better in his last start with the Padres than he was in his first. And then Bryce Miller, not that Bryce Miller, Seattle's Bryce Miller, 2-5 with a 5.87 ERA, second start since missing more than 2 months with an elbow injury. Interesting matchup to start this series, I think.
He's been getting roughed up. Yeah, it's one of those where both offenses are like, okay, this could work out for us tonight. That's, you know, great. Bryce Miller's a tough pitcher, but was getting roughed up before going on the IL, might even have been 2 IL stints, been very few starts this year and got roughed up in his first start back. Now, could come tonight. A lot of times guys do get roughed up in their first start back. If he's healthy, he could come tonight and shove. This is the Padres struggle against every one of these Mariners pitchers.
Yep, they do. They do. By the way, I can't see that Bryce Miller without thinking of the column that our late Bryce Miller wrote about this Bryce Miller in spring training a couple of years ago.
And with the picture with Bryce Miller, the one Bryce Miller holding the notebook and the pen and the other Bryce Miller holding the baseball. And it was the opposite Bryce Miller's holding the objects that they use for their occupations. Yes, Bryce Miller, the pitcher, was a good sport to go along. But what I think about when I think about that story is how Bryce Miller, our Bryce Miller, had this personality, this unassuming, just, you know, friendly Midwestern guy who could go cold call some guy for the Mariners. And honestly, kind of a, I'm like, really? You go over to the Mariners to do a story on a guy with your name? Okay. Cullum turned out to be fantastic, but he could go cold call on a guy and get him to play along with a Cullum because that's who our Bryce Miller was.
Yes, absolutely. I think of Bryce Miller every day, by the way. It's I think just working in the business, there's something every day that reminds me of Bryce. And now that college football season's upon us, unfortunately, every time I see Iowa, I will have to think of Bryce. So there's that. Tuesday, we've got Dylan Cease, Luis Castillo. Dylan Cease, 4.19 ERA in August. They've won three of his four starts. But he struggled away from Petco Park. Our Jeff Sanders had this great note. He has a 5.65 ERA on the road. Only pitched against the Mariners once. Sort of a forgettable start. Going up against Luis Castillo, 8-7, 3.83 ERA. Luis Castillo was supposed to be a Padre, and then he got returned to the Marlins. Kevin, how big are the stakes for Dylan Cease every time he pitches now?
Well, yeah, at first, Luis Castillo, who I think has like a 3 ERA and many starts against the Padres in his career, but like this year has been either brilliant or really not very good. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. Forgot what you said his ERA is, but it's like he'll go 5 innings, 4 runs, or 7 innings, no runs. 6 innings, 3 runs, or 6 innings, 7 runs, 6 innings, 1 run. Like it's wild. Dylan Cease. Look, I know we're way past, and I've been as frank about Dylan Cease as I can possibly be. Your past excuses, but that was a rough one last time. He gave up the 2 solo homers in the 6th. He gave up 2 earned runs. Was it in the second inning that were not earned in any way whatsoever? And I'm not arguing with the scorer because the scorer got it right, but like the defense let him down. So that obviously led to more pitches. And like Dylan said, look, they saved me more than they save us as pitchers more than, the other way around. It happens. But like that was not as bad as 4 runs in 5 innings looked, right? And giving up a triple that shouldn't have been a triple and a double that should have been a single. So that was a much better start. And that, that would probably make his August numbers and how we thought of his August look a little different.
Yep. Wednesday afternoon, Yu Darvish, Brian Wu. Darvish is getting better, has a 3 ERA over his last 5 starts. Padres have won 4 of his 5 starts during that time. Still limited a little bit, hasn't thrown more than 84 pitches. It's a good note from our Jeff Sanders there. And then he's facing Brian Wu, who just destroys the Padres, just owns them. He has a 2.08 ERA this month. He's started against the Padres twice in his career, winning both of those games, pitching to a 1.98 ERA. It seems like every time Yu Darvish pitches lately, it's in just what I think is a compelling matchup.
Yeah, Wu, what was it, 7 innings, 1 run back in the, I think it was the finale of that 3-game sweep by the Mariners. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back in May, that was the start of 6 in a row. The Padres lost, swept by the Mariners, went to Toronto, swept by the Blue Jays. Just ugly. It's like almost every day I'm doing some sort of stat research that takes me back to that period. Like since, May 22nd, the last time they lost there to the Blue Jays, since May 16th or up until May 14th was the game before the Mariners. It's like, that was just such an ugly week, but nonetheless, Brian Wu, what is it? How many starts has he made? It's got to be 25, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, every start, at least 6 innings.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. I think this is a huge series against a really talented team. And, now that the Padres and Dodgers are tied in the standings, man, this sounds cliche, Kevin, but I'm going to say it. Every game the rest of the way matters a ton for these guys. They're tied for the National League West lead when we're heading into September. This is huge.
It does. It absolutely does. I'm still like, okay, 31 games, we'll see. You start to get like a 3-game swing. It's probably over. So in that sense, that to put it in perspective, like what you just said, yeah, like you lose one, you can't lose the second kind of thing, right? Here's the thing, and we can talk more about it coming up before the Twin series on Friday. The Padres have the easiest schedule remaining in all of major leagues, not just among contenders. I think the Dodgers might be second or third, and really that's splitting hairs. They have two of the easiest schedules remaining, and that's with the Padres playing the Mariners this right now, and who are 9 games over, And what hold the last wild card. And then that's with the Dodgers playing the Reds for the next 3 days. And the Reds are a game or a game and a half out of the wild behind the Mets for the sixth wild card or the third wild card, sixth playoff spot in the National League. So what I'm saying is after that, it gets even easier. I think they have 9 series after that, and 3 are against teams with winning records.
Right.
The Mets, the Brewers, and
the Reds.
Yeah. And then it's 4 at home against Colorado, 3 at Colorado, 3 at home against Baltimore, 3 at home against Arizona, the 3 at home against, or no, 3 at the White Sox. Like, this should be a cakewalk to the playoffs. It's pretty exciting that that we're also then like, oh, wow. Like, this could be for the division too. Like, it's like, there's actually, it's not just like, hey, setting up the starters. Hey, how, what we expected it to be. It's at least here until something changes. It's about like playing for the division. And like you said, virtually, you know, I'm very reluctant to say this, but virtually every game is huge.
Yep. Yep. It becomes sort of football mentality here. Every game becomes big. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. We are really crunched on time here. So this is going to be a simple question. Are the Padres and the Mariners rivals?
No, it's just, it's silly. It's fun. I'm not mad about it, but no.
Right.
We are, and I have a very high threshold for rivalries. Rivalries are Red Sox, Yankees, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida, Georgia, back in the day, Florida State. Like, that's a rivalry. Okay. Right. We are right on the edge. We are right there. Padres Dodgers are finally a rivalry.
Yep. I agree. I think we're getting
as
to that
in both ways, as in both ways, not just us as the media, as fans, as Padres players. It's a true rivalry.
Right. The Dodgers have finally acknowledged that the Padres exist. So, maybe the next step is acknowledging that they're a rival. So yeah, it's, man, if this is what the next month, Kevin, or 5 weeks or 8 weeks of baseball is going to be like, give me more of it. I think it's been a fascinating last week or so of Padre baseball. And then we've got a 3-game series with Seattle starting tonight. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.